Well, we're going through the family plan, you know, like friends and family and all that stuff. And let's review a little bit what we talked about. What was the first thing we talked about in the family plan?
The commercials.
That was actually like the very first words that came out of Rob's mouth, was talking about the commercials on Sprint. I think it's Sprint that has the family plan, right? They got rid of it? Why? Probably because it was a scam. It was too expensive. It was too expensive for them. It was too good of a deal. All right, what do we talk about? Seriously, what? Relationships. Okay, who was the first relationship that was most important? Okay, what was after God?
Family.
Okay, what do you think comes next?
Friends.
You guys are so smart. That's the fr in the family plan. Is friends. And we're going to talk today about hanging with the right crowd would be the, you know, the name of this if we were naming this, but we're not. But if we were, it would be named hanging with the right crowd. So we're going to talk about having good people around you, having good influences around you, why it's important to have good influences around you, and that's about it. We'll be in Psalm chapter 1 if you guys have your Bibles. If you don't have your Bibles, that's okay, because it's going to be up on the screen. I'm going to try and read it, but I am dyslexic. I'm not really, but I could be. I was one of those kids that like had issues as a child but never got diagnosed. You know, like I never got the official doctor diagnosis, but I'm pretty sure I've got some issues. So we'll see how this goes. It says, blessed is the man. Hey, let me rein you guys back in. We're reading God's word, all right? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in due season, and its leaf does not wither, and all he does he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Okay, we're going to kind of go through this verse by verse. I'm going to hit some main points that I think are important. Hopefully God will speak through me and I'm not going to talk. It'll be God and you guys will hopefully listen. So that's the plan. We'll see if we can stick with it. It's the family plan. Jumping in verse 1, let me reread it. Blessed is the, huh? Oh, I thought somebody had something awesome to say, but I guess not. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So who are we talking about? Who are the two subjects that we're talking about? Bad people, believers and not believers, what other? There's tons of answers you guys could give, and they're probably all right, unless they're wrong. The wicked and scoffers. Okay, that's one group. Okay, what's the other group? I would say that one of them is the blessed man, okay, which is described in the bottom section in verse 6, is the righteous. But it says the blessed man. What do you guys think of when you guys think of the word blessed? Give me some answers. Happy?
Jesus.
That's, you said it just like that. Jesus. Did I hear sleepy? Sneezy?
Sneezing.
Yeah, bless you. Oh, like bless you. I see what you did there. It's like sneezy. I don't feel sneezy when I feel blessed. Anything else? Anything else? You think that's really weird? That's really weird. Anybody else? Blessed. What do you think of when you think of blessed? Is that a word that our culture uses a lot? Yes. Do you think it's used out of context a lot? Okay. How would you define blessed then? I'm going to see if I can get one more answer. See if I trick you. I'm asking really for the same answers I was asking for before, but if you change it around, you might answer it if I ask it a different way. Ooh, something God has given you. I like that. There's a lot of different definitions for blessed, and they're all probably right. in this text specifically, that word blessed means full of joy, or overjoyed, or full of happiness. I didn't come up with that. Somebody smart said that, so I'm going with it. But when we think of somebody that's blessed, what do we think of? Like, if you think, like, Matt, that guy's really blessed, or Manny, that guy's really blessed. We have a lot of different views of the word blessed. And in me, I'm always fighting the flesh. It's like this constant battle. It's called sin nature. But when I think of blessed, a lot of times I think of this, like, reward system. I think of this, like, good and bad. You do this, you get that. That's a lot of times how I think of blessed, or these things, these gifts. That's how I view it a lot. And that's correct. But where are we looking for the blessing? We're going to read a little bit more and keep going over it. It says, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on that law day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in due season, and its leaf does not wither, and all he does, he prospers." Okay, so now it's not talking about this guy just being blessed, but it's also saying that he's prospering, okay? What does prosper mean? Sorry, I'm asking a lot of school questions. I didn't like school, so I don't like answering school questions, so you guys are better people than me. Yes? That's the answer? Man, that's not English. Prosper, what do you guys think it is to prosper? To do well? What else? Give me some other... To thrive. I like that. We were made to thrive. You guys heard that song on Z88? Have you heard it? You haven't heard it? Manny, we can talk about the theological implications of that song later. But thrive. I really like that word. Thrive. Like, thrive is the idea. I really like that. I need to call you when I'm writing these things. Thrive is like this idea, like, you're not just doing well, you're like killing it. Like, you're doing better than everybody else. That's what I think of when I think of thrive. I can't even speak English. Thrive, but the idea of prospering. So I think this man is blessed, it says, and he's prospering. My sinful nature mind always goes to the physical. But there's some issues, because there's other scriptures that would lead us to believe something different. Could you put John 16:33 on the screen, please, sir? John 16:33. Ha ha. "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Okay, so here in Psalms it's saying that we are blessed and we're going to prosper. And here in John it's saying we are going to have tribulations in the world. So when I think of the word prosper, I think of me doing really, really well. Like, really, really well. And then when I see this, it says I'm going to have tribulation. I'm going to have trials. I'm going to have things that aren't going to go my way. So there's this issue. There's this issue that it now looks like Scripture is contradicting itself. You have over here saying you're going to thrive and you're going to do really well and you're going to prosper. And over here it's saying the world sucks and it's going to beat you down and it's going to be really, really sad. So those two ideas seem to not go together. But you guys know, because you have solid people teaching you the word and you read it yourself, that Scripture can't contradict itself. It can't, right? Right. Right. Such confidence. You guys are thriving in your confidence. I'm really going to use that word. I just love that word, thrive. It's my new favorite word. So obviously this isn't contradicting itself. We talk, me and Manny talk about it a lot. But what do we talk about in Colossians? Manny, give us the answer. What does Colossians talk about? Yeah, setting your eyes on things above. It's where we put our eyes. If you think you're going to prosper in the world, that verse is telling you that's incorrect. So if you're not prospering in the world, where else are you going to prosper? Because I believe that this verse here is true. Like, I believe I am going to be blessed, and I believe that I will prosper following God. But I also believe that that's true. So where are we going to prosper? And the clear answer is spiritually. You've got your physical, like, we look at the physical, and then we can look at the spiritual. That's like the two different ways we can look. And I think what this verse is saying is we're going to prosper spiritually We're going to be blessed spiritually when we are doing those things that verses 1 and 2 describe and what 3 looks like, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. Make sure that I'm staying on track. Okay, let's talk a little bit about verse 3. It talks about this tree. And I meant to bring a tree with me today because I have those laying around. I seriously do. But I was gonna bring a tree with me, and I forgot it, so we're gonna use the fake tree, and it'll work just as well. Verses 1 and 2 kind of say the dude's blessed, and then, like, he doesn't do this, and he does do this, like, he doesn't hang out with the bad people, and he does spend time with God. But now verse 3 is this kind of, like, visual analogy type thing. Who else uses these, like, visual? I can't talk. Who else uses these visual analogies? Jesus, what were those called?
Parables.
Thank you. I was hoping you'd take longer to say parable so I could, like, get a drink. Parable. You guys like brisk tea?
Yes.
I really, just taking a really, really short side note, I can spend more time with you guys, so I'm not afraid to take these side notes. I hated tea growing up. I know that's a problem. I live in the South. I'm like, I know. Okay, well, the whole point is not for you to call me out. The point is for me to admit my sin and to explain something to you. So I hated tea growing up as a kid, but my mom would always drink these brisk iced tea. But I thought the brisk iced tea was just as bad as the normal sweet tea. I know, whatever. Oh, make a big deal. Matt's an idiot. Whatever. I never liked tea. One time, I was at the beach. I was messing around. We were out of water. My dad had Diet Mountain Dew, and he doesn't let you touch those because those are his. So everything was gone except for brisk tea. I had one time. I loved it. It's like an Arnold Palmer and lemonade all combined into one. That has absolutely nothing to do with the scripture, but it's really good. You guys should try it. And they're 99 cents right now at the gas stations. We'll keep going. Dylan doesn't want to try it. It doesn't really matter. But it says in verse 1 and 2, this is who he is. This is what he does. And then verse 3 is this parable-like analogy. Let me rein you guys back in. Listen, I won't go on tangents and rabbit trails unless I can't get you guys back. All right. Verse 3, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. And the leaf does not wither, and all he does, he prospers. But the wicked are not so. They're like the chaff that the wind drives away. You guys know what chaff is? Can somebody explain it to me? It's part of wheat. Okay, it's the part that flies away. I'll fly away, oh glory. What is it? Okay, this is the analogy I use with the middle schoolers. My throat is like really dry. I think it's the cold air. You guys ever eat popcorn? Okay. I don't know if I want to admit this. Okay. Do you guys ever get the butter popcorn and then some of the butter stuff is left on the side of the paper and you kind of pull it as you're taking the popcorn? Raise your hand.
Amen.
Thank you. I know there's more than just me out there, and I see girls' hands too, which makes it okay. Where is that going? Oh, yeah. So when you eat the popcorn, you know, like the protective shell around the kernel? What do you call that?
Popcorn. The thing.
The thing. We'll call it the thing. So that thing that goes around the kernel that, like, protects it, it gets caught in your teeth.
Oh, my God.
And it's annoying. Oh. Thank you. It's probably the worst thing ever. Okay, but imagine the weight of a kernel, and then imagine the weight of, like, the kernel protective flake that gets stuck in your teeth. The thing. It's a very different weight. So if I threw them up in the air or threw them into the wind, the kernel's going to drop to the ground. The thing is going to blow away. It's the same thing when they used to mess around with wheat. They didn't have, like, machines and... I just burped. They didn't have, like, machines and all this stuff that we have today. So when they would take the wheat, they'd pick the heads off of the wheat, they'd cut up and burn the stalks, and then they still had to process the wheat. So they take the wheat and they, like, put it in their hands like this, like they were doing something magical, but they weren't. They were just separating the wheat and the chaff or the kernels or whatever you want to call them. And then on a windy day, they'd throw them up, kind of like LeBron James, you know, like, LeBron James. They would do that, but with the wheat. And the kernels would drop to the ground, and then the chaff would just blow away in the wind. And it's separating the useful and the good from the bad. And so this text is saying, this text is saying, it flipped over to the wrong one. What this is saying is the wicked, the evil, the ones not following after God are very similar to this chaff. Now, take this tree, for instance. It says the righteous are like a tree. And they're not just like a tree. They're like a tree that's planted with deep roots near rivers, okay? What do trees need to live? And?
Sunlight.
Okay. We're not worried about the sunlight. I just want to make sure you guys knew that they need water and sunlight. But water. Trees need a source of water. Plants need a source of water. Humans need a source of water. Camels need a source of water. Whatever. You need water. And this tree that's by this river obviously has a much better source of water than a desert does, okay? A person that is righteous, that is following after God, and I don't like the word righteous because we think of like, we have this bad connotation in our mind like of self-righteous people, but think of instead of using the word righteous, which we are righteous because we have been redeemed by God because we're really, really messed up. Jesus Christ makes us awesome. So we are righteous, but when we think of the word righteous, we think of self-righteous, or at least I do, so I'm going to change it. People that are following Christ, they're like that tree that's planted by the river. They have a constant source that they can pull from. The wicked, now I'm getting this off my notes, the wicked are like the chaff, okay? So the tree, well-rooted, okay? It's not going anywhere. Well-rooted, not going anywhere. The chaff kind of just blows away. And the wind, like LeBron James. The chaff is kind of like this useless thing that gets separated. They keep what's good from it, and they get rid of what's not useful. That's what they're comparing the unrighteous, the people not following after God. So we're talking about our influences. We're talking about the people around us. Who do you think you should be around? Don't answer that out loud. Think about it. We're going to talk about it some more. Let me jump down to verse... Nope, not going to 5 yet. We're going to talk a little bit more about 4. Let me reread it really quick. Okay, we're jumping back up to verse 3. Excuse me, I used the wrong number. I almost said letter. It says, it yields fruit in due season. The leaves do not wither. But that fruit, okay, so we're talking about you're prospering, and we talked about how, like Manny said, when you're keeping your eyes on God, you're keeping your minds on things above. We'll call that the spiritual. So if we're saying that when you prosper, you're prospering spiritually, you're growing spiritually, I'm also encouraging you guys and telling you that the fruit from the tree is going to be a spiritual fruit. And here's why. You guys see these bad people that do crazy dumb things that are really, really successful in life. I can think of example after example after example of these just not great influences that are just doing really, really, really well in life. Paris. Too soon. Too soon. Okay, let's not name people. Let's not name people. Let's not name people. But we can all think of people in our minds that fit that mold. And again, the fruit that we're talking about is a spiritual fruit. It's all where you keep your eyes. Have you guys ever lost something? I lose things all the time. I set things down. I don't know where they are. This cold air is making me die. I set things down all the time. I'm like, where are they? I was going to take my keys out of my pocket, but this thing's in the way, and my keys aren't in my pocket, so I can't. But say I lost them. But say I set this down. Somewhere. I really did, but I know where they're at, so I didn't lose them. Say I set that down and I'm walking all over the place. I'm looking for it. I don't know where it's at. I do this all the time with Jess. She gets annoyed, but she's super gracious and loving, so she doesn't say anything, but I know she's thinking it. I call her all the time. She has this awesome job where she works from home. Well, it's not like a super awesome job, but it's a pretty cool job. So she works from home, and all the time I leave stuff at home. Like I'll write down somebody's address or phone number or email address. And instead of in my notebook that I carry around with me, I'll like put on a blank sheet of paper, or I'll do something stupid. And I'll be like, Jess, I need you to go find this. It's on a piece of paper. It's on the coffee table in the living room. As long as Oos, our cat, didn't eat it, it should be there. And so I'll tell her, go look for it. Or I'll set something down and I'll be like, I swear I put it on the kitchen table or whatever. And I'm looking for it, and I'm looking for it, and I'm looking for it, but I'm looking in the wrong places, and I'm not finding it. I actually found it. Oh, here it is. Here's where I placed it. And the same thing happens with that spiritual fruit, guys. A lot of times we hear this stuff. Oh, yeah, I'm going to prosper. Oh, yeah, I'm going to do really well. And we're looking for it. God, where is it? I just walked the old lady across the street. I just did something really, really nice. And we're looking for this immediate, like, I just walked the old lady across the street. Where's the $100 bill on the ground while I'm walking her? Like, we always go back to the physical, and that's just our sin nature. And I believe that that's true. I believe that you are going to prosper. I believe that you are going to be blessed by following God and by living righteously. But look for it in the right places. Look for it in the right place, and you're not going to lose it. Look at the spiritual instead of the physical. Okay, I'm just making sure I didn't leave something. I didn't want to leave an awkward silence. Guys, we're talking about this family plan, and we're talking about the righteous versus the unrighteous. And again, think of that in like a positive connotation for righteous. We desperately have a need to surround ourselves with good people, with good influences in our lives. We need each other. We need brothers and sisters to push us towards Christ. We need people to pull us along in the faith, to encourage us when we're feeling down. We need somebody to pick us up. You guys need that. And the middle schoolers, I told them, like, start doing that now, because you're like, oh, life's pretty easy. I'm in middle school. Like, I just got to wake up and make sure I pass my geography coloring class and I'm good. But that's what I did in geography class. But Satan attacks no matter what age you are. If you're 80 or you're 13, Satan's going to attack. And you need people around you that are a good influence, especially you guys in high school. Luckily, in my life, praise the Lord, I had some friends in middle school that, like, I was trying to hang out with the cool crowd, which obviously would not have been successful, but for some reason I thought it was a good idea. So I started trying to hang out with the cool crowd. Obviously, the cool crowd wasn't really the cool crowd. Like, they were the worldly cool crowd, but not like the spiritually cool crowd. So I'm following these people. This thing happens in my life. They don't really accept me anymore because I'm not cool like them. That, you know, I can't do all the things that they do and all this stuff. Long story. So I'm like, man, I got to find a new group of friends. So I start hanging out with guys like Stephen Gerges and Jacob Fall and Zach Lawson and all these, like, not cool people. Yeah, I said it. They're not cool, because I wasn't cool either. And at the time, you know, it was one of those things where, like, man, I had these really cool friends and I wanted to be just like them. And then when I lost those friends, I was like, man, I don't have any friends. And these other guys came along to my life. And I had always been friends with them. Like, I knew Steven since he was in, like, Egyptian cloth diapers. But I didn't spend, like, intimate time with him, like, one-on-one time talking about scripture, spending time in the word with him. And as high school started rolling around and I had awesome people investing in my life, leaders at Firehouse and people like that investing in my life, I realized the need of accountability. And those guys I still call on today. We still encourage each other. There's been so many awesome people that are here now that were here when I was in high school, that were here when I was in middle school. Like, there's tons of awesome people that are currently investing in your lives now, whether it's leaders here at Firehouse, whether it's friends. And guys, I'm telling you right now, you need those people in your life. You need the accountability in your life. You need the encouragement in your life. You need people pushing you towards Christ. It's a must. If you think you're going to be successful, you think you're going to prosper, again, not physically, but you're going to prosper spiritually, you have to have those accountability. I know that's like a trendy word, but you have to have those people in your life. You have to have people that are pushing you towards Christ and leading you towards Him. Let me jump down to 5 and 6 real quick, because I know I'm talking a lot. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. When I was first reading that, I was having some difficulties with it. And me and Rob and Manny and Justin were sitting and talking about it. And It says, therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. When I first read that, I was like, wait, the wicked will stand in the judgment because we all have to be judged. And then I was like, that doesn't make any sense. I must be reading it wrong. I need to look at another version. And me and Rob talked about the word stand. The word stand does not mean like being present. That word stand means like literally being able to like hold a load. What it's saying is the wicked will not be able to stand in the judgment. Not they won't be able to be there, but they're not going to be able to stand. They're not going to be able to hold the weight of the judgment. And it jumps down. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And that holds for now is true, and that holds for in the future is true. They will not be in the congregation of the righteous in the future. And we all know that I'm talking about heaven, future, our future with Christ, our new bodies, our new creation. They're not going to be there. And that's why this is serious. Like all of a sudden it got serious. Everybody gets quiet. It is serious. Like it's a serious thing where this is an eternity that we're talking about. Because our eyes so easily go to the physical, the here, the now. That's what we look at. But that's finite. That's a very small part of our life. The infinite part is what really matters. And that's what we need to be looking at. And it also, not just talking about the future, but talking about right now. People that are in sin don't want to be around positive encouragement. And I'm talking about people that don't know Christ. But I'm even talking about people that are following after Christ. When you're sliding away, when you're not spending your time with God, I've seen it in my own life. Like I avoid accountability when I'm not doing well. And my encouragement for you guys is to seek that accountability out when you're not doing well. I can think of it in my own life. I can think of it in friends' lives that are walking with God. They're going through a rough patch and they just kind of pull themselves away. They kind of get silent. They get quiet. You guys have friends that are in that boat, in that scenario. Sorry, Chick-fil-A is just dominating me right now. Like, seek them out. Find them. Call them out, like, in a super loving way. Speak the truth in love. Like, talk to them. Just be like, guys, like, what's going on? We need that accountability with each other. We need to be there for each other. We need to love each other. And, again, so many times in my life, when I was going down the wrong path, I knew what was the right choice. I was choosing the wide road instead of the narrow road. I had so many good friends that came along, was just like, pew, 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 like, wake up. And we need to be that for each other. We need to be there for each other. Okay, one more verse for you guys. Oh, and I forgot one, but that's okay. I've left one out. Psalm 16, verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence, talking about God, obviously, is fullness of joy. At your right hand is pleasure forevermore. I believe that we will prosper. I believe that we will be blessed. But again, guys, it's not talking about just this physical thing. And that's where our eyes automatically go to because of our sin nature. But that verse is also summarizing it for us. We're going to be blessed. We're going to prosper. And it's talking about physically, not physically, spiritually. See, I almost got you guys. It's talking about spiritual blessings, guys. Be accountable to each other. Be accountability for each other. And you guys are going to prosper spiritually. And that's so much more important than prospering physically, because physically is just this really short period in your life. Spiritually is forever. And if you guys haven't thought about that, if you're sitting here and you're like, man, I've really never thought about it that way, grab somebody and talk to them. Find somebody in the crowd or a leader or whatever that, like, you know that they know God. Like, seek them out and be like, I've never thought of it that way. And if you are in a point in your life where you're walking from God and you don't have accountability that's pulling you back in, or you do have accountability and you're running away from them and you're not listening to them, talk to them. We're not supposed to do this on our own, guys. We need to be here for each other. We need to lift each other up. It's just so important. Again, accountability is like this word that's like trendy and we like to overuse it, but it's such a practical thing for our lives that we need to be doing. We need to be walking in the counsel of the righteous and not the counsel of the wicked. Who you hang out with is who's going to influence you. You're like, oh, here we go. Another old guy that just thinks he knows everything. Like, I'm not old and I don't know everything. Yeah, I'm pretty positive. If I shaved, you'd think I was like 12, okay? In all seriousness, guys, you need to be seeking these people out in your life. You need to hold accountability in your life. And again, put your eyes on things that matter. Put your eyes on things that matter, not the physical. You will be blessed. And just jump back to verse 2. He delights in the law. He meditates on it day and night. If you're looking for that in your life, people that can be that for you, look for people that are doing that. Look for people that are in the Word, that are meditating on it. And if you want to be that, which we all should want to be that, do that. Like, that's the recipe. Do that. So let me pray for you guys. Hopefully I didn't miss anything. Hopefully God spoke, and hopefully you guys were listening. So let me pray real quick, and then is there another song? Yep, Manny's standing. There's another song. Let me pray, and Manny will sing, and then we'll go to our accountability groups and our fire stations. Ah, we don't do fire stations just for fun. It's accountability. Okay, let me pray. God, thank you for this evening. Thank you that we could just come together and just study your word. God, I just pray that just that we would have people that hold us accountable, God, that we would be accountable to people, that we would hold people accountable, that we would have a desire to walk in the way of the righteous, God. I pray that we would be like that tree, God, that we're planted, that we're rooted deep in your truth, deep in your love, deep in who you are, God. And I just pray that these students would understand that the influences and the people around them have such a drastic pull over their lives, God. And I pray that they would surround themselves with good people that are following Christ, and not that they would ignore the sinners or ignore the unrighteous, God, but they wouldn't find their accountability in them. They wouldn't find their identity in them. They find their identity in Christ. And when they know their identity in Christ, they can come back to the unrighteous and say, look what God's done in my life. And they can encourage them to walk with you. We thank you for what your son did for us. If it wasn't for that, we couldn't be here. Even talking about this great joy, this great blessing, and the prospering that we can have spiritually through your word, through your truth. We love you. Thank you for your son. Amen.